You're listening to Excelsior with Brittley. It's me,
and I'm getting interviewed by Ricky.
That's me. I'm Ricky.
That's Ricky. And Nally's here too. And for the first time for the 1 year anniversary, I'm getting interviewed. Yeah.
Woo!
And we're having a party. I love that. Hey, Ricky, I just have to say I'm loving this outfit that you have on right now. If I'm moving stuff, it might hurt your ears. You should wear this more often.
Yeah. I actually bought this.
You look really good in purple.
Do I?
Yeah.
I actually bought this because 1 year I wanted to go as the Joker for Halloween. But I just, all I could find was this, and then I just didn't find anything else that went with it or anything.
What?
And like, I just kind of was like, oh, whatever, I'm not, I think I just ended up doing something else or not going out that year.
Oh my gosh.
It's been so long, I don't even know.
No, that looks great. That looks super great. You should wear that more often. You need to put more flashier clothes in your style. I feel like you would really benefit. Okay, is this working? Okay, this might work.
It kind of works.
There we go. Okay, now I'm a real penguin. I don't even think anyone's watching this. Yeah. I can't. It doesn't even matter. But okay, so this is exciting. I'm here with Ricky, and we are in my new studio space. And he's texting.
Sorry, my brother just texted me right now.
That's okay.
Need to tell him what's up when I'm done.
And he looks really cool. He's wearing purple blazer and some red colored glasses, aviators. He looks really good. And I'm wearing a full-on penguin suit in the summertime, and I might get a little sweaty. Nally is sleeping.
Of course.
Yeah. But, so it's my 1 year celebration of my anniversary of my podcast, and here we are.
I'm also going to put the phone on silent.
There's also going to be an 80s band that's playing in the room next door, and I guess it's going to be really loud.
I hope they play that one song.
Which one?
You know the one.
Oh, that 180 song?
Yes, that 180 song.
I don't know what that is.
Anytime I say, you know, the one, it means nothing.
I love that. Yeah, that 180. They smell good, though. We just met them on the way up
that
here.
That guy was trying to flex his cologne on you
I
so
know that
hard.
I
he, like, got way up in your face.
He asked me to. I was like, you guys smell good. Bands aren't supposed to smell good. And he's like, put his neck up to me. He's like, smell my delicious cologne. And I was like,
Let me validate myself.
What is this, Curve for Men? And he got so offended. He's like, it's French. It's French. It's fancy. It's expensive. And I was like, oh,
I think
smells
he was,
cheap.
I think he was just joking kidding. With you about
I was,
that.
I
but,
was joking too.
Okay, because I couldn't really tell. But anyway.
Either way, it was a fun interaction. We had fun on the way up here, even though we're an hour late. But that's honestly how we roll. But yeah, so Ricky is going to interview me for the first time, which is kind of crazy. I don't even know what to expect right now.
This is my first time doing an interview, so that'll be interesting.
And this is my first time being interviewed, so this will be interesting. Well, besides really? For a job, yeah.
Well, yeah, that doesn't count.
It doesn't.
That's not a real interview. That's a job interview.
I know. Don't ask me job questions. I'll get nervous. Oh,
where do you see yourself?
Wait, hold on.
Things don't go here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that's my notepad, and
totally.
I just need to adjust my chair.
Just get cozy. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I just didn't want to sit like at an angle anymore.
Yeah, me too. I switched around a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like we're having a pajama party, at least I do, because I'm like,
I'm not as comfortable as I would be in pajamas because this is kind of like it's a blazer, so it's tight.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure because it was like in a pile of like stuff for Halloween at a thrift store. So
what? That needs to be in your everyday attire now,
yeah,
please.
So I don't know if it's like a ladies blazer and they just put it there because it's purple. It'll go over there, the Halloween stuff. But like, it's just kind of tight.
Tight?
And, yeah. It fits when I'm wearing it, but like when I go
you
like
can't
this,
move.
When you feel like the tension in the like between the shoulders.
Don't do any dance moves. You're gonna rip it off of you.
No,
you're
I'm
gonna
not,
be like
I'm
Hulk.
Not planning to dance in here anyway. There's not enough room.
Oh, there's always room
there's
to dance.
There's not enough room for the dancer. The disaster that is my dancing.
This Is your dancing a disaster?
Not really, but I don't think I'm a good dancer.
I think you're a good dancer, and I haven't even seen you. I think everybody's a good dancer if you know how to wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
There's a such thing as bad dancing, though.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because I'm a bad dancer that I don't know.
Doesn't seem like it to me, but I haven't seen you dance much.
I know. I just wiggle and I do what I want.
I do what I want.
But, all right, I guess I should stop talking and let you take over, Ricky. Yeah. Ricky Martin. So, actually, let me just start out by saying my art show is on the 23rd. And by the time I air this, it might be the 23rd.
Oh, there it goes.
Oh, you know who's not going to like this is the dog.
Oh,
come here.
Puppy.
Come on up. Up, 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 up. And also our live video might interrupt. But that's okay. We'll figure this out. Okay. So my art show is coming up and we're going to have an art show. It's going to be Ricky, a portrait of Ricky and Susie, his femme side. Right?
Right.
It'll be so fun.
Yeah. It's, I'm excited and a bit nervous about it at the same time. It's because it's, even though it's been like 2 years since I came out about it, it's still something I feel is very, like, personal and.
Yeah.
It's still not sure how much of it I want to share. Just, like, I could say, like, one of the reasons that I initially came out is, like, anytime somebody came over, like whether it's one of my friends or family, I always had to like do this kind of check around my house to make sure everything, any sign of it was like put away, because I just didn't want to have the conversation about it.
Oh, and now you can openly talk about it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's more like I can live casually, and if somebody sees anything, it's like, well, you know what the deal is.
Yeah. So. Oh, I love that. Do you feel more comfortable?
Yes and no. I mean, it's been a much more comfortable experience than I expected, because I just kind of grew up in the environment where like people didn't seem very accepting of it, and I wasn't for the longest time, but like it's something I was kind of living with almost my whole life,
like
on and off, and in ways that I don't necessarily want to get into here, but like, yeah, I can say it was a lifelong struggle before, like, kind of finding a place or kind of finding a way to define myself that felt comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, I love that though. And then now you can just kind of be your creative self. And,
yeah.
Have you ever had like a time where somebody was like, why do you have this women's clothes out? Like, did you have a girl over or like?
No, because like I always, like I said, I always like.
Covered it up pretty well.
Yeah. It took a lot of effort, and at some point it required having all the stuff I had in one bag shoved under my bed.
But, oh my gosh.
But I didn't have a whole lot then, and it wasn't a part of my identity to have it then.
Yeah. Have you gone out around people that kind of knew you and didn't recognize you?
No, actually, like the first time, like the first like experiences I had going out, it was, I don't want to say the name of the place just to keep the normies out.
Yeah.
But there's a club downtown that I would go to that's kind of friendly for like the queer, the goth, and the kink community.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of hovering in between those spaces at some point in my life, and I ended up meeting up somebody out there, and she and I not only became best friends since then, but that also became like my favorite place to go for the longest time.
Oh really?
Yeah, like I went there that one night, and then I immediately wanted to go out there and experience it while dressed femme in public.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was where I went first went out, and that's kind of like the first domino coming to terms with things was going out there and having a thought while I'm like in the room, like,
yeah,
okay, you're out in public, you dress like a woman, you should probably try to act more like it. And
yeah.
At that point just started walking like one. I was like, oh hey, this is easy.
Oh, fun. I love that. And then you did it in a place that was pretty safe and, like, comfortable, and there's no one really knew you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I slowly started to learn a lot of people there.
Do you have friends there and stuff that you contact and go out with and stuff? Cool. Fun. And do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm a huge introvert.
Because I feel like everything you're saying is like an extroverted tendencies.
No.
To go out of your comfort zone, meet people at a club, stay in contact with them, and like reach out to them.
Anything that like, any idea I get that like just gets me excited enough that I think about doing it, it's kind of what motivates me. Like if it's not a social thing.
Mm.
I feel like I lost track of what I was saying there, but no, it's not. I don't think it was like an introverted thing to go out that way. Like, it was just something I had some ambition to do, and
okay,
and I just went for it.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty cool, and I think that takes a lot of like strength to be able to go out and do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but awesome. So yeah, the art show's on next Saturday, the 23rd. I just got the print in the mail today.
Ooh.
I know. I was like, very timely. I like walked the dogs and I had it at my front doorstep. I was like, yay. So
did it look good?
Looks good.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, all right, Ricky.
Excuse me.
Now you get to take it over as the host. I'm the guest now.
All right. Let me slowly drive this into the ground.
Yeah.
All right, so the first question I had, and I feel like you've explained this a few times on the show, but I feel like it makes sense to have it on this particular episode. So how did Excelsior begin?
Oh, yeah. The question. The question I always get, and I'm sick of answering to people individually. I don't. I just a lot of people are always like, oh, why do you do that? Why this? Why the name? And it's like, well, listen to the podcast. But because we're on it, obviously, it's good to answer it right now.
Right.
But yeah, so Excelsior with an exclamation point.
It's very important. Do not forget the exclamation
point. Don't forget the exclamation point, because
they will come to your house and she will kill you.
I will.
With kindness.
Kindness. I will kill you with kindness. I might bring you some snacks. I love snacks. I love to eat. I love to be friends with everybody. Okay, anyways, so Excelsior, so this podcast has been a long time coming, that I had an idea during the pandemic. I wanted to like check in on my friends and my homies. So I started to do Instagram live videos with like a lot of artist friends that I knew or people I've worked with, just to be like, how are you dealing with this? And I was like, everyone's online, so I was like, okay, let's do it as a live video, and I want to see how everyone's dealing with the pandemic and check in, like, hey, you okay, bud?
Right.
What are you doing to stay motivated? What creative things are you doing? So I did that, and I really didn't expect to get so many people to compliment it and really get into it, and I had a lot of people say, you have to turn this into a podcast, and I just kind of was like, yeah, I think that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it was I have a lot of ideas that I do, but a lot of them fizzle out and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. And then it's like, and I'm like, okay, just ask my parents. They're like, my whole life has been like that. I've spent like tons of money on like different projects that I'm like, I want to start doing this and I want to do that. And they'll spend like $200 on like gear or like something, thinking that they're fueling my passion, to just to be like, never mind. And they're like, okay, so.
I feel like I can relate to that. I've had a lot of projects that I've started, invested in, just didn't put the time into that I should have.
Right. And then, oh my gosh, like my house, like it's full of stuff that it's like, oh, I started this project, I started that project, and this, oh my God, my roommate knows, and everyone's like, why do you have so much stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, I just start things. But anyways, this podcast kept, it didn't fizzle out, so I just kept going with it, and I, like, love it, and I just, I really wanted to create a space to expose people in the community and get people to mix and mingle, and artists and entrepreneurs, and share their little stories that you don't hear, and have it a Minneapolis space, because we don't really have that in this community very well. We do, but we're not New York, we're not California. We have something going here, and we should grow with that within, and start to reach out to each other and motivate each other. So that's kind of where I'm at with the podcast. I want to share those people's stories, and I do my mixers and stuff anyways. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm not allowed to be the guest. I just ramble. I might go off subject.
You are the guest, though, because you said, you're having me interview you.
I know.
So you are the guest. You can ramble.
I'm rambling. So Excelsior, I started that. That was my idea. And then when I was trying to think of names for it, one of my dear friends, Bobby, he and I would always talk about art and creativity. And he was one of my first podcast guests, or Instagram live guests, and he's a maker. He does a lot of sculptures and welding and just a bunch of stuff. And him and I were meeting up for pho, and this was the last time I saw him, actually. So it was last summer, and we were meeting up for pho, and he messaged me and was like, "Hey, are we gonna meet up today still?" And I was like, "Yes." And his response was Excelsior! Three exclamation points. And it just hit me. I'm like, that's the name of my podcast. Because he was a big influence in my creative world for a little bit. He was just a good friend that we could get creative together. And he modeled for me a lot. And so one of these photo shoots that I did with him and Sierra, a girl, was... the idea of, so the photo shoot was, they had these Oculus glasses on, but they were in this really beautiful place. It was in Hastings on the river, and they had these Oculus glasses on, and they were eating fried food at the same time, just hanging out by each other in this beautiful space, but they were both in these different realities. And it just the idea that we are always constantly in these different realities and not where we are, I wanted to do the shoot, and this was long before the podcast, but I wanted to use that photo shoot for my logo. And originally Bobby was supposed to be my logo as well, but I ended up going with a photo of Sierra that I did that day, because it reminded me of one of my favorite albums by Cage the Elephant. So I just did this whole whatever. So he was a big part of the beginning of it, and I named it after him.
Nice.
Excelsior. And it kind of makes sense, because Excelsior is kind of means high quality, up, high quality, positive vibes. And that's kind of how I feel about all the guests that come on, because I want to showcase people who are doing really cool things in the community and who are really positive and just excellent. They're high quality people in nice. Minneapolis. Yeah.
That'd be a good segue into one of my other questions, which is, how do you know such a wide variety of interesting people?
Oh man.
From your podcast guests and watching you work the room at Birdhouse, you just seem to know a lot of interesting people.
I don't know. I think I just have I guess it's my personality, and living in Minneapolis so long as a photographer, I've worked with a lot of really cool people. I've done projects, I just meet people through people constantly. And as a bartender too, I have the front line of meeting people in the city. But that alone is, I should be more judgmental. I'm not very judgmental. I accept everybody.
And I can tell.
Yeah, I see the creative good things in people, and it gets me into trouble sometimes.
I can imagine.
But I think that helps. I really like people, and I I talk to people, and I don't really, I don't know. I think that might have a lot to do with it. So I like to get to know people and give people a chance, because I think there's some really cool creative people in the city, and I lucky enough got to work with a lot of them in my photography career.
Do you think being so positive is what makes you engaging?
Maybe.
Because I can, like I said, since I'm a regular at the Birdhouse where you work, I've seen you interact with people, and I can say personally that you're really easy to talk to. And you seem to know how to open people up and make them start talking.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just my personality. I'm genuinely curious about people, and it's not fake. So I ask a lot of questions, and I'm fascinated by people. So I guess I have a friend that I've known since second grade, and she's always told me, you will go into somebody's house and touch everything and like just look at everything and touch everything, but you will walk out with nothing. Like, you're the most trustworthy person who will go through everything in everyone's house, which is true, because I'm like, what's this? What do you have? Why do you have this? Ooh, what's this picture? Ooh, well, who are you? I think I did that to your house.
You did. I was going to say that. Like, Brittany comes over to my apartment and she's looking around. She's like, oh my God, look at all your stuff. Look at your life. Oh my God.
I've been doing that since I was a child.
It was like an episode of her podcast, because she just kept looking at stuff and hearing my explanations, saying, oh my God, I love it.
I love this. I like your little shelf that your mom got from the thrift store or from a garage sale. It was so cool. Like, I love to... See, no one's recording me. Like, that's me naturally. It's not an act. So for me to do this, it's like natural. Everyone's like, are you prepared? Can I get a copy of your questions? And I was like, I'm always like, damn, like, a copy of the questions. I don't know the future. Like, I don't know. I don't prepare.
The only reason I prepared questions is because, like, since, like I said, I've never interviewed anybody before, and my only concern doing it was, what if I run out of questions, or what if I create dead silence? Like, you don't want to do that if you're leading the conversation.
Right. So. And no, preparing is good. Like, that's the right thing to do. I should be prepared more sometimes.
There's a time and a place for it. And I think the way you do your podcast, you don't really need to. It's just, it's just mostly conversations and not as much of an interview.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I think that's what people like, you know, a little bit. I like raw. I really like raw, because I like... There's something, and that's why I don't do Zoom or anything. I have done phone calls, like, you know, especially when the pandemic was, or the COVID was kind of hitting hard, and I had a broken foot, and I did call people, and I have some friends out of state that I did a podcast over the phone. But I typically like to do person, because there's something really special about sitting in front of somebody and enjoying a meal, you know, like that's I love that, like breaking bread, like let's do it.
That's the thing I like about your podcast, is that you do the what's your favorite food part, because there's something I've noticed lately about the food I enjoy, is that I like, had a burp a little bit, but
burp away.
I just didn't want to do it right in the microphone.
Do it. I do it all the time. My mom hates it.
I feel like food just kind of really has a way of, like, I can't think of how to put this, but like, people like can all relate to it, and so it's a very deep thing for people, like enjoying food.
It is, because who doesn't love a meal?
Right.
I don't
care
who you are.
And there's so much culture in food.
Oh yeah, and there's so many things about it, and like, you learn about how someone grew up. You learn about someone's personality by what they love to eat. Oh my gosh, it's fascinating, right? It's an art form. Food is an art form itself.
It is, yes.
There's so many aspects to it, like even just like how you take care of yourself. Do you not care? Do you just eat what you want? Do you like, are you super picky? Are you gonna like fast and be very aware of what you eat? Do you want to eat all this stuff, but you're very self-centered and disciplined? Like, who are you? Who are you?
So another question I had was, if you could interview anyone, both, it was just alive or dead, but I'm also going to throw in there fictional or real or non-fictional. I would say, you can answer that however you want.
Okay. If I could interview anyone, I already have this prepared.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of answers, but they're all famous people.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I really want to, I'm putting this out there, I really want to interview Mick Jagger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I love him so much. Oh, my gosh. He's one of my favorite musicians. And Lady Gaga, I really like her. I think that would be awesome to interview her.
Those are some powerhouses.
I know, right? I know. I really like Matt Schultz from Cage the Elephant. I've seen him do interviews and how he is really passionate about humanity. And I've seen him TV, just on the red carpet or something. I don't remember. I don't really keep up with stuff like that. But he was on something and they're interviewing him and he really had a lot to say and he was getting deep about some really important topic and they're just anyways, okay. And he kept trying to pull the mic back and they're like, yeah, we don't want to hear about your deep shit. And I was like, I do. Well, sign me up.
Sir, you've become too real for the red carpet.
I know. What? But I also went to one of his shows. Okay, I gotta say this. I love him. Okay, so I went to one of his shows Cage the Elephant doesn't really play in Minneapolis, so I had to go down to Texas, and I met one of my friends and whatever. It was amazing. This story isn't a Texas story. Hold on. I did see him in Texas, but then I realized is the stage was so far away that the sound was really good, but I couldn't see them very well. So I was like, this isn't good enough. So I booked another show in Chicago. I was like, I'm going to follow them to Chicago now. So then I went to Chicago, and that one I was like, okay, I'm getting up close. I'm getting to front row. I lost the people I was with because, my intention was let's get there. So I got to the front row and I was up there and, I'm a little bit shorter than the people in the front row. And he was interacting with the crowd and he was like, okay, before this song, he's like, everybody put your hands up. And I was stuck. And I was kind of in the front row around people and I couldn't get my hand up. And he was staring at me. And I finally got it up. And the second I got it up, he was like, okay. And I was like, he fucking waited for me. That is a moment that I remember about
him. Hold on. This one's trying. I need to wait for her.
I know.
I believe in this one.
Because I was so close to him that he'd see me just struggling. He was like, okay, now everyone's hands up. And I was like, oh, we had a moment.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about going to a live concert is when you get to see the people in the band be people. They're still a band or musician or whatever, but even while they're up there performing, something about them still human enough that something like that will happen and you'll see a side of them.
Oh my gosh.
I like when you see somebody reach down and take someone's camera and just do something crazy and hand it back to them. Imagine what that's like for the person holding that camera. We're like, you're just like, I'm going to get a good shot. Holy shit, he's taking my camera.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Right? That happens? Do they do that?
I can't think of who off the top of my head, but I know I've seen something like that happen before.
Oh my gosh.
But imagine being able to go home and be like, look, Billy Joe Armstrong stole my camera and took a picture of his own ass.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I would like that. I'd be like, yo, sir, it's a little too much.
I'm just saying,
No, that's funny.
You see a lot in them when they interact that way.
Well, it almost makes you feel like they're your friend and it's personal and I love that. That's the thing is it's just those little moments in life that and we are all human. Famous people are human. And that's the thing. It's just because they're famous, I mean, fame doesn't really faze me. Fuck fame. I really don't think it's a big deal. But more people know you, and I know about some famous people that I really love and respect. And if I had them as an interview, I would treat them as a person.
Right.
because I just, that doesn't faze me.
Right.
But yeah. Oh. Sorry, we have a band playing and Nally is scared. It's okay. It's okay.
They're it's playing just music. Rock music
downstairs. It's just 80s hair band. All right.
So another question I had on my list that I can jump to is, what are some of your favorite concert moments? Because you seem to have brought one up.
Well, you heard that one. That was a favorite.
Yeah. But I know you have more.
God. Okay. On the spot, though, I got to think, like, okay, right. Concert moments. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I really, really like... Nally's named after this band, Foxy Shazam. So Foxy Shazam was, I've seen him twice, but the first time I saw them, they opened for, what's that? Who's that band? I believe in a thing called love.
The Darkness.
Yeah, they opened for The Darkness over at First Avenue. And I was like, okay, well, I love The Darkness, but this crowd was rowdy. It was just like, you know what? I saw my favorite band. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Depot after when The Darkness was playing. So, of course, like, nobody was at the Depot or anything. And I'm sitting there having my drink. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wowee. That band is crazy. But so I'm sitting there having my drink, right? And it's my favorite band. And I like... turn around and Foxy Shazam is like right behind me. So I got to talk to them and hang out and got pictures. And then Eric Nally, who's my favorite in the band, because he's just like fun energy. Just, I love his energy. Mm-hmm. And his thing on stage is to eat cigarettes. So he'll light up a cigarette. Like, okay. Like, I think he lit up like a whole thing of cigarettes, like a whole bunch of them. It was like, they're all burning in First Avenue and he turns it around and eats them. And I was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you, I asked him, I was like, how do you eat those cigarettes? And he's like, yeah, he has a silly voice. He's like, well, you just light it up and you turn it around and you just eat it. And I'm like, okay. And then he hands me a cigarette and was like, here, give it a try sometime. And I was like, all right. And so he gave me a cigarette. And yeah. And Nally is named after him. I did not eat it. I did smoke it, though. Okay. I did smoke it because I thought that was the right thing to do. And I kept yelling, Eric Nally's cigarette! Except I was a little drunk and I kept yelling Eric McNally, which is not his name. But that's my... that was a good moment. You just have to be someone
across the bar named Eric McNally, like, who is this lady? Why is she saying that's my cigarette? I don't smoke cigarettes.
Just happens to be this McNally. That's hilarious. That's not my cigarette. That would be so funny. Yeah. So it is getting loud, but because we have microphones, this should be fine. The only thing is the live video will probably be annoying, but it's fine.
We can't see them complaining anyway. So
I know.
We don't care.
If you guys are saying anything, I don't even know because I'm over here in my penguin suit with my dog.
And across you're room. A phone way across the room from us. So
the phone's across the room.
And I look like a music producer from the 80s or some shit.
You do. I love that so much. I love it. You look cool. You need to dress like that more often.
I should bust into this practice below us and be like, guys, you sound amazing. Can I sign you?
Oh, my God, you should. Dude, they would believe you. You'd be like, my cologne is French. I'm a French guy.
I got my French cologne.
What? That was not even a French. Can you do a French accent?
I don't know what accent he was trying to do, but no, that was not a French accent.
No, it wasn't. Oh, my gosh. Let's hear yours. That's good. Here, pretend you're a French producer.
I don't know where to go with
it. What? You could do it.
I just can say baguette and stuff like that. And it kind of blends into other accents because I'm not good at being consistent.
I'm not good at accents.
I love doing impressions of them, though.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
I just like accents.
Accents are cool. I got to practice some more accents. Nally, what kind of accent do you do? You hate life.
Nally looks
she's
very
not.
Grumpy.
She's not. She's grumpy. Uh-huh. There's music and stuff. She's not happy.
A minute ago, you were sitting there, like, talking to me, and she was sitting there just, like, looking right at me, like it's my fault we're here.
She does that. She'll have that stare, like... She's like a little lady now. She's in her late 30s in human comparison. That's not late. Old. Hey, wait, what are you trying to say, Britt? I'm in my 30s.
I just turned 34, so I don't want to get that shit.
Well, we're the same exact age, because I'm 33, and I'll be... I'm an 88er, too.
August. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I just told everybody my age. Shit.
Why are you worried about it?
I'm not.
You don't strike me as the type of person who would be...
I'm going to age ungracefully. I'm going to cut up my face, inject my lips, you know... Not really. I'm not just joking.
I was over at my mom's yesterday, and she loves watching those like Real Housewives shows and everything on Bravo that involves old rich ladies with too much plastic surgery getting in fights with them each other over nothing.
Oh my god!
And like we were talking about how like I forgot what I said, but I said something about having the money to think that you can have surgery to look like a teenager again, but you can't.
Yeah.
And like we just got started talking about how it never looks good. It's not convincing.
No.
And
well, I think my natural, and I'm not talking shit about people who get plastic surgery because whatever, like it's fine. It's fine. Like I'm not against it. But there is a point where it's overdone. And when you look at those people, like for me, it's my natural reaction to be afraid because it doesn't look human.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh, like that's a scary thing. Like that's like my natural brain's reaction. But I can see how like being a woman and aging, like I hate it. Like I hate it. And so like I'm like, I could just do this. I could do that. I can do this. I'd be better looking and stuff. And I'm just like, you know what though? But like it's like this, it's almost like you're delusional. It's mm-hmm. like, it's like almost like a thing that you think that it looks good and you know, but then in reality, I don't know. It's just not.
That's how I feel too. And I really, really don't like the cosmetic surgery industry at all.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on my Twitter accounts. I follow a lot of girls and that once in a while they'll say something like, I really want my lips injected. And I'm like, I always want to be that person. It's like, please don't. But like they get enough of that I just know not to. But
like when do the little lips people get to be recognized? Because I just have to say that like
I've never unrecognized little lips.
Let's make lips, that lips a thing. Lips I know. To me. Like, I'm looking at you and you don't have big fat lips.
No.
And you have really cool looking shaped lips. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but I've always like noticed lips. Like, I think lips are so beautiful. Like, they're all different shapes and there's nothing like, God, yeah. There's nothing sexier to me than like applying lipstick on a person. Like, it's sexy. I'm like, you do your own lipstick. I can't. It's just too hot. Like, I can't. Seriously. I'm like, no. Because it is a sexy thing. And, like, putting someone's lips... It's so intimate. And, like, the shape of the lips. Like, everyone has these, like, really cool shapes and, like, things. And it's just like, ah. But the fact that either they're fat or small is, like, not a thing.
Yeah.
Like, natural is beautiful, I think. If you have little lips, it's so cute and, like, pretty and, like, whatever. I'm going off again. I can go on a tangent. What they're doing, a sound check down there.
Sounds like it.
I know. Hey, could I, because my tummy is growling, can we jump to the food?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Can we jump there? Because I'm starting to get hungry.
Okay. So this is a food-based podcast.
Is it? Oh my gosh. And I'm so excited because Ricky got to bring me food this time and I thought I was going to bring the food too. And he's like, no, you're the guest. Like, I get to bring you a meal. What do you like? And he asked me what I like. This is so exciting.
That does sound like me because I have told people like trying to decline something I'm offering them to, you will accept my hospitality.
You're just aggressively hospitable. You take this tray of
my
food.
Bed, damn it.
Take this tray of food. I'm gonna shove it in your mouth. I'm doing something nice for you.
I'm gonna give you one of the ones at the bottom because it didn't get as crushed.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And look at this.
And if you're interested, I also brought milk.
Look at this. This is so exciting.
I'll hand these to you and
okay.
You can pour it yourself.
So. Yeah, thank you. And the sandwiches can go on the table. It's just the cups are so
Right.
Clanky. All right, we got milk and sandwiches. Look at this. This is so exciting.
I was asking her what she wants me to bring her, and she was she says, like, peanut butter and jelly almost right away, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And
I grew up on this. Like, it's all I ate. I was like an addict.
I was asking her if there's any certain way she liked them, and she answers in the most bartender way possible, like two measures of peanut butter, one jelly. I was like, are you mixing a cocktail?
Oh no, is that what you did? Because I think you have it backwards.
Oh no.
It was two jelly, one peanut butter.
Shit.
Uh-oh, he screwed it up. That's okay. But now he knows.
And knowing's half the battle.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't actually, this doesn't have to be a perfect meal. I just want to be very precise about how I like my sandwiches.
So adamant about getting that right too.
I know.
Of course I get it backwards.
It's backwards. I mean, peanut butter is good, but sometimes it gets too sticky. It's all about the jelly. It's all about heavy jelly.
It's actually my favorite part of the peanut butter and jelly, but like, I agree, it is too sticky, but yeah. That's why I brought the milk.
Aw, okay.
I like to have my bases covered.
Mmm. Okay. Mmm. That is so good. Nelly. So I did peanut butter and jelly because I've been obsessed with it since I was little. And I called my mom and I was like, hey mom, I just wanna be clear with you, what's my favorite food? If you're thinking overall, you know, obviously as an adult, I don't eat them because I don't know. I realize that it's not good to eat it every day, peanut butter and jellies. I don't even eat bread, really, except for now I'm splurging now. This is like a treat. But yeah, I would eat like five sandwiches in a row. Like, I was addicted. Lunch, dinner, breakfast, didn't matter. Peanut butter and jelly. But she did agree with me. She said peanut butter and jelly. I was like, yes. Yep, that's the one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's good that she knows that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even actually, I remember being like 18, 19 and going to Potbelly. Is that a sandwich place, Potbelly?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'd be with friends and stuff. I was like, yeah, let's go out for sandwiches. And I go there and they'd be like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, just the peanut butter and jelly. And they're like, what? Like, well, yeah. They have a great peanut butter and jelly.
Wow. You know, for a while when I was eating Jimmy John's, but I don't eat them anymore because Jimmy John's is a poacher, I always thought that they should have peanut butter and jelly because their bread would taste really good with it.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It'd be so quick and easy to make that why not? Like, just like a sub-length peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, let's not shame peanut butter and jelly. They're not just for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
it's good.
And if you imagine, like, you could have half of that now and save the rest for later. Like, it's so long that you wouldn't be able to eat all of it, but unless you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. We should have peanut butter and jelly charcuterie boards. Like, different types of bread and peanut butter and jellies on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, cheeses also, because cheese is good. I mean, it's not like you'd put them together, but you'd have them separately. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I've heard of people eating, I think it's peanut butter and provolone sandwiches. Apparently, it's one of those things, like, it doesn't make sense, but then you try it and it just works.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I've tried this really good. That my old friend used to make me peanut butter and kimchi sandwiches.
I feel like you mentioned that on the podcast once because I know you bring up kimchi a lot. But that I don't know. I'm not too familiar with kimchi, so I can't determine whether I think that sounds bad or not.
It smells like farts. Uh-huh. It does. It smells like farts. It smells terrible, but it tastes so good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's good for your gut. Here now, have a peanut butter and jelly. Yum. Yum, 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 yum.
She was eyeing your sandwich earlier, so she's probably happy you gave her a bite.
I know. Is that payment for listening to this 80s band? This is still the sound check.
Jeez.
This is so good, though. I'm like, I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the best. This is so special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you eat a lot of peanut butter and jellies?
I would eat them every so often. They weren't like my favorite thing ever, and I can't say I ever had a point where like I eat them every day or more than one a day. I probably eat them like two or three at one point, but yeah, they were like a sometimes thing. And I've tried different things. Like I've always I kind of like experimenting with food. I don't do it too often, but I'll do stuff like I would like try different ways of like toasting bread or mixing different stuff, like different types of jelly or stuff to add with peanut butter and jelly, like, you know, like banana or honey.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. There's an artist I follow. His name's Daniel Graves. He did a like Ask Me Anything once, and I forget who the two people. Okay, it was one of those if this person and this person were drowning outside your boat, which one of them you save? But the variation was, if this person and this person were drowning inside your boat, what kind of sandwich would you make and watch them die? Basically, but his response was something like, okay, I wouldn't do that, but to answer your question, peanut butter and honey.
Ooh, I'll eat peanut butter and honey.
I tried it, and it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I eat peanut butter and honey raw, like just no bread. Like I do it all the time. I take a scoop of peanut butter and then I spray the honey and then I just eat it out of a spoon.
My dad was just telling me yesterday that his one of his go-to breakfasts is just peanut butter and banana. Like he'll spread it on some on a banana and take a bite.
Yum.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah, that sounds really good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know, bananas are one thing I can never finish a whole banana. Two bites, I just can't do any more than two.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It's too much. It's too much banana. Too much. It just gets like sticky and stuff. I can put it in a smoothie and like mix it with stuff, but two bites, I'm done. Done.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not good after that.
I wouldn't want to, like, save it for later, because I don't know if you've ever tried saving a banana, but you can't.
It doesn't work.
No.
Unless you freeze it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, I suppose.
Cut it up, freeze it, use it in the smoothie the next day as ice cubes.
Have you ever frozen an orange?
No.
You should.
Why?
It's, I have a whole TikTok about, well, it's not a whole TikTok, but I just have a TikTok where, like, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life, but freeze an orange.
Oh, my God. I love that. What?
The reason I like freezing an orange is because, like, first you have to peel it. Let me put that out there first.
Okay.
You peel it, you put it in the freezer for a while, and then when it finally unthaws enough that you can peel it, it's like chewing on a bunch of little fruit made, like a bunch of fruit popsicles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do that. That sounds so good.
Freeze an orange.
Freeze an orange. What? You gotta be shitting me.
I am not shitting you.
You're not shitting me.
Not even pissing you.
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Well, I'm so excited. Why do you sound disappointed?
I'm so excited. I don't know. I'm just more into the. I wasn't even thinking about the orange. I was more into saying, you gotta be shitting me, because I got really excited about being dramatic. Okay. We got the band going now.
They were really playing them drums.
Yeah, I scarfed that sandwich. I was hungry. I did not eat today. It's like almost 2 o'clock.
Do you want another one? There's two more.
I couldn't. I wouldn't. Maybe later.
I shan't.
I shouldn't. I can't. Oh. Yes. Do you want to jump back in? I segued into the food. Should we ask more questions? Do you have more?
Yeah. Let me swallow that real quick.
No, yeah. Sorry. Eat away. I mean, don't. And get shot. This is a podcast where we can get, like, we can get crunchy. We can smack.
Okay.
Let's get smacky. Let's get lips
in it. I just personally don't like getting that kind of sound out there, but, like,
it's too much. That's for my OnlyFans page, all the smacking.
That could just be taken so many ways. Anyway, tell us some of your worst customer interactions.
Customer, like at the bar.
Or anywhere that you've worked, really.
Oh, that's funny. So I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow.
Oh.
And it is called... Oh no, I forgot what it was called. I'm so bad. But I'm going to be on a podcast tomorrow talking about that, like customer service and jobs that I've had. So it's kind of funny that I say that. And the thing I said about that is, so tomorrow I'll be on this podcast and I have a ton of stories. I've had a lot of jobs. Like, I could pull out a list. I've been making notes and I have a list like this big of jobs that I've had in my life because of, I don't know. I've had a lot of jobs. But
well, then let's, why don't you narrow it down to the places that you're currently working? Some of your most recent.
I mean, to be honest, I don't have any like worst customer service.
I love all my customers.
I know. I love everybody. I'm honest. Like, really? I don't. So the thing is when, don't laugh at me.
I was really close to saying Brittany loves everybody. It's like she's perpetually on ecstasy.
I know it's true. I am. I love everybody. Aw, I really do. Even my worst enemies, I love. I have some enemies.
I will destroy you one day. Okay, I love you.
I do. I love them. Thank you for making me a better person. seriously, if we didn't have people being so mean, then who are we, right?
You'd be the worst superhero ever. Like, you'd be standing there with your cape flowing in the air, watching your villain, like, destroy the city. You'd just be like, okay, but I love you, though.
I would. Okay, I could not be an evil villain, but I will say this. Okay, so, speaking of that, I'm going to talk about this tomorrow on the podcast, but, I was a debt collector once.
Ooh.
3 weeks training, 3 weeks on.
That's it.
And then I got fired. Because I was so nice. I really listened.
I can see why that'd be hard for you. Okay, like, I'll come back later.
It's
okay.
It's a super villain.
Okay, I
listened to everybody very genuinely, and I listened to their stories about why they couldn't pay their bills, and it really made sense. And I was like, yeah, I can see why you're putting this one off. And I was like, here's the facts. You could build your credit back if you started paying us. That's probably not what's on your mind right now. I get it. You know, I'll call you back tomorrow because I have to. And we can talk about it. And they were like, yeah, that's not what we do. Then I was like, well, I have to call them back tomorrow if they don't pay it. And they're like, yeah, but instead of like asking them for payment, I'm like, how you doing, bud? How you doing?
Really, I'm afraid you're showing far too much empathy to do your job. I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go.
That's what happened.
Okay, I love you too. Bye.
I know, I did. It was true. So they even called me in and they played a video. They played one of my recordings, and it was like this little old lady, and she's like, what's your name? And I was like, because I went by Brittany, and there I was like, Brittany? She's like, oh, that's my granddaughter's name. And I was like, I was like, oh no, it's okay. Like, it was like, oh really? Okay, you know what? I'll call you back tomorrow.
Have
a good day. It just struck me. I was like, don't use that. And I knew she was just using that to get me.
She was.
But she got me.
She probably doesn't
and
remember.
That's what got me fired. Like, really, Britt? Really? And I was like, but her granddaughter.
Her granddaughter was named
Brittany. I was like, I had to. I got fired. I cried of happiness.
She really wanted to pay her bill.
Yeah. And also, I sat in a cubicle and I was like this the whole time. I'd be like up and down in my chair and I'd be like, what's going on, guys? What's happening? What's going on? And I'd be like, are we making another phone call? Like, I can't sit here for another 10 hours. And I was off the walls. Like, 22. And I was just like, oh, like, I couldn't even do that now. I'm like, what do we do? We call people? Okay. Like, this guy next to me was Caesar, and I'd always be like, Caesar! I'd be like, Caesar! And he'd be like, okay, calm down. And I'd be like, I can't calm down.
They probably looked at you and saw like a little puppy dog just jumping up over the top of the cubicle, like,
I was crazy. I got fired. I packed my desk and I put all my things in a little box.
Told all your coworkers you love them.
I did. I was like, I love you, Caesar. Except I yelled. I was like, I love you, Caesar. And I like packed my little box up and I was like, kind of like, wow, this is like the movies. I got my little desk. I got my plant. I got all my things. And I'm like, walked out the door and everyone's staring at me like, oh, she got canned. Bitch is too nice. And I just started like tearing up. I was like, I'm so happy. I don't have to try to be mean anymore. I got my car and I took my broke ass home because I didn't have a job anymore.
What?
I'm just laughing at how that like ended. So tell us.
So moving on. Because again, try not to let dead space happen or dead air.
Okay. I can edit it out. Ooh, yeah, I've heard of it. I know nothing about video games. But my roommate is really into video games, and he'll be like, I have this new video game where this cute little spider has to save his other girlfriend's spider. And I'm like, that's fucking adorable. Who are you? You're an adult, right? By the way, I'm wearing his onesie. This is what he wears to bed. He has like a bunch of these. He has a shark costume and stuff. So like, he's the best adult ever, by the way.
But yeah, the question I was going to ask you was, tell us your journey into music. Like, what got you into what you're into now?
Yeah, it's funny because everyone thinks of me as like the musician girl, which I don't even play an instrument or like sing. Me in the shower. One of the
questions I was going to ask you is if you could play an instrument, what would you play?
Oh, okay. So I actually have played instruments. I was big into the flute, and I also played the guitar. And I really love the guitar, but I've had like two guitars that I just kind of like. Like, I think a few of my friends still have them because I'm like, I'm never going to play it again. I'm going to get rid of it. My friends are always like, I know you're probably going to want this back because I go through phases and I'm like, I want to play again. And then I'm like, no, just take it. So like my friends have them and then they give them back to me. And then I think Tim has one and my friend Jen has another. And I'm just like, if I want them back, I'll call them. So I do play guitar every once in a while.
Okay.
Because I can like read chords a little bit. It's been a while. But then... I really like drums. I think I'd be really good at drums. I love like the fast energy and like banging shit around, and I like it. But I have a drum set here actually. But
is that yours or who?
No? It's my roommate's. Okay. Liz. She's this really great drummer that I share a studio with, and there's a lot of feminine energy in here. So I'm like, oh, it's a great studio. But I would play drums. I think I would. I've had a few people that have asked to try to teach me the drums, but then they ended up just hitting on me, and I was like, well, fuck this. And I don't have money for lessons, so.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Men, boo.
So, yeah, tell us about the type of music you're into and, like, what your journey through music and what you liked and disliked throughout time.
Yeah. Okay, so I really like music that just moves me. And I go through phases, like I like a lot of things. Honestly, music that just moves me, if it's a good beat, if it's good music. I had a podcast guest on. It's like, what kind of music do you like? I like good music. I'm like, I can relate to that. If it's good music, I like it. I don't care what genre it is. Even some country, I'm not big on like the old, like the country, like I just can't vibe. I just can't.
For me, like I don't like country, but like the more towards like 90s, 80s country, the more enjoyable it is, because it feels like people actually took the time to write music and it was country, and they didn't. It's not. It feels like today people are writing country music for the sake of country music, and I like to make the joke all the time that a lot of the words in country music today, it sounds like somebody handed every country artist today like a list of cliches in country music, and they said, okay, this is a list of cliches, don't do this. And they all looked and said, these are great lyrics. I like the part where you mentioned the blue jeans and the whiskey.
And they're all, you know, it's interesting. I know, and I have a friend who really likes country music, and she'll play it and I'm just like, nah. But it is, I think too, it's like this thing where I didn't grow up with it. My parents never introduced me to it. If my parents listened to it, maybe it would have brought me memories and happy times, but I'm pretty open-minded with music, and that is the only thing that I can just say. I just don't vibe it.
Right.
I just don't. I mean, with that, I love Johnny Cash, and I love Dolly Parton. But other than that, I just, and I love poppy country sometimes because pop is just catchy. I love pop music because it's just like mindless gargle that you can be like, your brain's like, do, 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 do this feels good. Like, this is a feel good because it's mindless.
I don't think you could have possibly explained pop music better.
Yeah, like, you can't go wrong. Hey, Nally, I know you're going that way, but that way is the music. So you want to come this way to this comfy chair where you can get cuddles and be further away from the booms and the bams. She's a dog. She doesn't really understand.
She probably smells the other peanut butter and jelly sandwich in my
cooler.
Oh, yeah,
she wants it. And now there's hair everywhere. I hope we have a good vacuum here because Nellie's got hair all over this new studio. But, yeah, so we do have a lot of music and drums, and Nellie's really not into this. And I'm not even sure if, like, our live video can hear us, which our live video is secondary. It doesn't even matter. Like, we don't care about that. We don't care about our live video, if they can even hear me. If anyone's even watching, I feel like...
Looks like people are commenting, so I assume that they are, but...
Yeah, come back up here.
As we mentioned earlier, they're way across the room, so we don't hear.
Yeah, we don't really hear them.
I'm just trying to pretend it's not there.
Yeah. I know, me too, because it's better for conversation. But yeah, so music. So yeah, I like a lot of things. I really like electronic music. I really like...
What was like the first artist that really struck with you that made you start getting into music as a whole?
I love music. But the first artist, okay, so I mean, there's a few I could talk about. But so when I was in preschool, so that's my first memory of, because it's been a running joke in my family. I was in preschool and we had to tell the class what our favorite song was. And everybody in the class is like, Disney this and kids song that, because I'm 3 years old.
I like kids pop.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, I think it was a lot of Disney stuff, you know, which, I don't get me wrong, Disney was killer for me. I loved all the Disney songs. But my favorite song was Leonard Skinner, Ooh That Smell. So I'm like, so that's what I said in front of the class, and like the teachers were like, her answer was hilarious because I'm like, I like Leonard Skinner, Ooh That Smell, and everyone's laughing. So my family's like, yeah, of course, Britt's the one that comes out with like an actual song that adults listen to. It's about drugs. It's about being addicted to drugs and doing heroin and drinking. But it was Britt's favorite song, of course. But I just liked it because I was like, ew, that smell, whose smell? And it was well done. Leonard Skinner, maybe, I don't know, I hear they're a little bit racist. So, but that's the only song I like of theirs. Well, there's a few others, but they died terribly, tragically. It's kind of sad. You got to feel for them.
I actually don't know too much about them. The only thing I know about Leonard Skinner today, other than their name comes from somebody's gym teacher in the band. And
I don't really know that much.
It was his name. They just... Oh. And, the other thing I know is that every time I hear Sweet Home Alabama, I just think of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Make you a little hungry?
It doesn't even make me hungry. I just picture the commercials where you see like gravy pouring on potatoes and chicken being rolled out onto a plate and biscuits. And just like the food imagery rather than the food itself.
That's hilarious.
It doesn't help that none of the KFCs in my area are around anymore.
Was that a KFC commercial?
Yeah, they used to use that song in their commercials for like the longest time. It would be the same part too, where like the commercial would start, you'd hear that guitar. Like it completely ruined that song. But not that I liked it to begin with, but like every time I hear it, now I have to think of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm just picturing the coleslaw right now. Right now. She thinks I'm joking. I'm
not. You know, I used to work at KFC. It was one of my first jobs. I was 15.
Nice.
KFC ho. I gotta get that extra crispy chicken. Oh my gosh. Music. Yeah. What? Oh, Leonard Skinner. So yeah, just that one specific song I really liked. But Leonard Skinner died in a crazy plane crash, and they all, except for one member, died. And that one member got out of there like mangled. Could you imagine what he looked like trying, like climbing out of that like mess and walked and survived and walked all the way to this farmhouse in the middle of nowhere? I don't remember where. This is a story I heard. Don't quote me on it. But then he like knocked on the fucking door to be like, help.
The dude shot him. That's how he died.
Fucking crazy. That's what I hear. That's the story I know.
I mean, the only reason I have trouble believing that is that, like, they still tour, and I know it's not, it's mostly, like, different people, like, brought into the band, but I feel like they have
maybe
to have
a... Maybe the story I know is not true.
I feel like at least one member has to be alive.
Maybe. Or maybe they didn't shoot him, or maybe they shot him and he still survived.
Yeah.
Maybe. Damn.
Oh, wait, it is human.
Leonard Skinner isn't human. I don't know. I don't know much about them except for that small song, so I really like it.
You do know that the name of the band isn't the name of a person in the band, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's a common misconception.
But Pink Floyd is a guy, right?
No.
Just kidding.
I could tell in your eyes that you were joking, so I just went with it.
I also like Pink Floyd. I like a lot that kind of stuff that I grew up with. But, yeah, I love music. Music is good.
Who's some of your favorite artists?
So I don't like favorites because they put you in boxes. I'm pretty open-minded. There's a lot of people that I like. But I really do like Cage the Elephant. And I like Rolling Stones a lot. I have a tattoo on my back of a Rolling Stones tongue. And
she stuck her tongue out for those of you at home.
Yeah, I gotta do the imagery.
Yeah,
the Rolling Stones tongue. And man, oh man. I mean, I can just think of me in the moment right now. I like Buka. Buka, I like your music. I don't know. Yeah, I like a lot of just, it depends on my mood. Like, ask me on my mood. But those are like my top right now, just because, like, I don't know.
Name like three or so albums that you gravitate towards a lot.
Okay, so Tell Me I'm Pretty. Tell Me I'm Pretty. No, I'm just kidding. That's
you
the
are
name.
Pretty.
Thank you. No, that's the name of the album, which, in fact, okay, so this is the only album I'm going to talk about because that's all I want to talk about. So this album, Tell Me I'm Pretty, it was, okay, so I'll get into this. Okay, so I was a vacation nanny once, and I was on this airplane on the way home to Minneapolis from Florida with this baby, holding him and, like, you know, baby's crying, so the mom and dad are like, here, you deal with it, that's what we pay you for. So this baby's crying, I'm like calming the baby on this airplane, and I put the headphones on because that's how I deal with it. So I put these headphones on, and they had this free album, which was Tell Me I'm Pretty, which at the time was brand new, and like, I don't know, it was like Delta or something had like this promo that was like, you know, they had this thing where they had this free album on the airplane, you know, whatever they had.
Right.
And so I got to listen to this album, and the first song I listened to was Cry Baby Cry, which was funny because I was holding a crying baby, so it kind of engaged me. I was like, what is this mind reader like thing? And it was funny because like the whole like, I'm a weird artist, so like it was like the soundtrack to my life at the moment. It just felt so like, you know, this weird thing, like things like that happen where you know you're supposed to be where you are. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
These little things in life that seem like such a dream, and they come together connected, and you're just like, oh, I'm where I'm supposed to be in life. So it's kind of a moment. But I really like this song, and I was like, what? And I've heard of Cage the Elephant because they're an older band, and I never really got into them. But this was their newer album. I think it was like something produced by like the Black Keys helped them produce album, or the same producer, I don't remember. But so it was like all new. It was kind of like this new vibe. And I was like, this is really good. And so I started listening to more of the songs, and I was like, all of this is really good. I got obsessed, and I just started like listening to them, and I just like fell in love with them. Again, like the newer Cage the Elephant, not the old one. Like,
right.
You know, and I bought their album, like Tell Me I'm Pretty, and it's just like, the whole album is amazing. But like the picture on there is this girl with red hair, and she's in a flood, and just like the look on her face, and it's just like this beautiful like picture, and I don't know, it looks like those old school film photos that like my grandfather used to have, like a studio in his basement, and he would do like black and white photography but then paint it over with color.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it has this like weird watercolor look, and that's kind of what the album looks like, and it just, everything about it is just beautiful in so many ways. And so this is my favorite album, like not only like the color but the music, everything. And my podcast Excelsior is actually I finally, when I came, all my like, you know, trial and errors, I found the right photo for that looks similar to that, and I kind of based my Excelsior logo on that album.
Right.
It's kind of same colors, and I actually painted my model's hair red because I really liked the fact that the model has red hair. So my Excelsior, she actually doesn't have red hair. She has dark brown hair, and I like colored it in Photoshop similar like with watercolors to make it red.
Right.
And then I know I'm going back to the logo again, because she has Oculus glasses. The idea of like, I want people when they listen to my podcast to see the world in other people's view, because again, like I might be different. Like I have this personality where I love everybody, and I really like, I believe in people, you know, and that's kind of the point of this. I believe in a lot of people. And so with this thing, like I notice like in a lot of people that I know that are just a lot of people working in a restaurant, you see it, like people hate you or they're judging you because of their own insecurities, or they somehow, people think that other people are genuinely evil or out to get them or right. are shitty. And I don't think that. But with this podcast, like with the Oculus glasses, I want it to be like this girl has these Oculus glasses where she's actually seeing somebody else's life, and she's like lifting them up after she just watched somebody else's life. So I want the podcast to kind of relate to that.
Right.
So it's like, you can look at somebody's, whatever, walk in someone else's shoes, or in this day and age, view their life through their Oculus glasses, you know, view their life. And that's kind of the idea. And it's like, if you listen to these people's stories, I truly believe that like we have, like especially with all the shit that's been happening in Minneapolis, and like with the pandemic and stuff, and like the mask and no mask and vax and no vax and this and that and Democrat, Republican, all of a sudden all these like divides against each other, when really like we're not supposed to be against each other. We didn't do this to each other. And in fact, if people sat down and had conversations, they'd realize at the end of the day, we all want the same thing.
Right.
And I don't think people believe that. Like, they want to fight with their neighbor. They want to, like, believe that people are truly evil. But the unity is what's going to save us all, you know. And so I just do what I can in little bursts of podcasts to help people listen to other people and their opinions. So
that's nice.
Yeah. You stopped when the music stopped. I loved it.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't.
No, silence is okay.
I didn't prepare myself.
You're fine. You're doing great. I feel like I'm rambling.
No, again, you should be, because you're the one who's answering questions right now.
Yeah, it's weird. It feels weird.
It must be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do you think you are in an alternate life?
Ooh, what a fun question! Oh my gosh.
Like, if you may, like butterfly effect, you made one decision in your life, and everything from there was totally different from what you lived. Like, what do you think could have been?
Oh my gosh. Oh, this could be too deep. Maybe I shouldn't share this. But ooh. Like, okay, well, yeah. So me, in this lifetime, or like, if I made a different decision, could I be some, like, if I made a different decision earlier on in my life, I could be somebody else? Is that what you're saying?
Like, you as you are, but, like, if you took a different turn somewhere and, like, say something, say, for example, like, instead of getting interested in photography, you got interested in, like, fashion or something like
sure,
that.
Sure.
Like, do you think there's any, like, alternate routes that could have been that you just didn't go down because you chose the way you did?
Yes, there are routes. So, unless you're my close friend, and not even my family knows this, because it's like wasn't like this out there thing, but I've been engaged before. And I left because I realized that I was living this life of cookie cutter, like get married, have kids, buy a house and all that. And I realized that's not what I wanted. And it wasn't a genuine act. It was more of like, we're doing this because this is what normal people do and I want to look normal. And all of a sudden, like even like who I was to this other person wasn't me. Like I couldn't be my true self. Like right. I couldn't even dye my hair without them being like, that's not a good look. And I'm like, wait, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like I could have gone down that route. I could have had like a family and kids and a normal little life. But it would probably, I probably would have been divorced. I probably would have like had to rediscover myself when I just kind of nipped it in the butt and I did that right away. So I could, I think my personality too, like since I can remember, I've been very stuck in the idea of I'm going to do what I want. And I want to be the most genuine me ever. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it was a really, really hard thing to do. I was with this person for like 4 years, but it was really hard to do. But realizing like, ooh, I could be someone totally different if I kept going this route, and I had to break it off before it got too deep, you know, before I got married and before all this. So
right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who have gotten married in the like the past decades like had gone in like almost the exact same reasoning.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for people who didn't think to get out of it like the way you did. So mm-hmm. You probably did yourself a huge favor in getting out of that.
Well, yeah, it's a real thing. Women who are in their late 20s, and you know, I experienced at least 20s. I think that's a really pressing time where our bodies are like, it's now or never, biatch. Like, have a baby. Like, if you're not gonna have one now, then you might not have one. You know what I mean? And that pressure is really scary. It is, it's a real thing. And it's, dealing with that is hard. So I think just being a woman and that, like, making that decision, do I want kids or not, and having the pressure and, like, I don't know. It's like, I really thought that I just needed that normal. Get married, have a house, have a kid, get a real job. Like, but then, you know, I don't know what hit me. It was just a lot of things that I started realizing. I lost myself. Like, all of a sudden, I'm just not my true, genuine self. And so I had to get out. So I guess I would have been a very different person, you know,
yeah.
if I did that. And I do think it would have ended in divorce eventually. And then you have to deal with, like, that whole thing, like being a single mom or like split custody, and I mean a lot of people do deal with that, but I'm happy I made the decision not to. I don't have kids. I have other things that I want to do. Just because you don't have kids doesn't mean that you like have nothing. I just
right.
put that out there. Whatever Joe Peterson says, it's a lie. Joe Peterson says if women don't have children and stuff, what do they have? They have a lot, actually. They have a lot. They can, you know, humans aren't just put on this earth to have children. Like, there's other things that we can do.
Right.
And
what an archaic way of thinking, just to view women as mothers in training.
Well, yeah. And I am a mother. I'm a mother to, like, a lot of people. I feel like we can help each other without having kids. Like, I can be a good influence to people. I can help people like find themselves. That's why I do the podcast. It's because I want to be for people.
Right.
People don't have to be babies or children. Like I've realized that I want to be a person who helps people, you know, and like connect. Like I said, I want unity and like I want people to come together and I want to see that in the world. So
yeah,
I don't need a child to do that. If I had a child, it would distract me from that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that I'm happy with my life choice and not doing the other route. But yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one of the last questions I have written down is which of your interviews that you've done so far have surprised you the most or were the most exciting? Either both like the result of having the interview and the getting that person, like, what were the most exciting ones?
So I'm going to think about this because there's been a lot.
Yeah.
Like, people always surprise me because the stories that they have are so fascinating that you go, okay, so I go into these interviews thinking I'm just going to have an interview with them about like certain things and, you know, talk about their career or whatever. And maybe there's a few stories, but like these people that I've known and worked with and I hear their story, I'm just like, you are so cool. Like, you are amazing. Like, everyone has this really cool story. Like, you don't, like, there's not one person that does something really cool or owns like a really cool business or has an art form that isn't just like, I'm gonna wake up and like make a fucking butterfly on a canvas and sell it, or I'm just gonna buy that coffee shop, or I'm just gonna, you know, start a business. No, there's a fucking story. And that's the reason they're successful, is because the universe draws them to this thing, and then they have a story about it, and all these things come together, and it's so cool to hear.
Yeah.
So like, I do think that everybody, but like, off the top of my head, Brent from Cafetto, but he has an amazing story. Nell and Josh from the Birdhouse, mm-hmm. their story is so cool. Amanda from the Salon Halo, she's got stories. I might have another podcast with her because she has stories. And her, the way she started out in the middle of nowhere, like, and just like, again, she knew herself. She's like, I want to be like my aunt, and I want to be a hairdresser, and I want to get out of this small town. And yeah. She did. And she's like this just beautiful human. And who else? Oh, Nicole, the drummer. I've known her for years. Had no idea that she started drumming late in the game and just became amazing.
And I actually was familiar with her band, like long before they changed their name. Like, I kind
Great
of
door.
They were just kind of like in the like the area anytime, or the what's the word I'm looking for, like the scene I was in, like back when I was in a band still, and when I was going out to see my friends' bands, like I would see her like out at shows because she stands out. And I've seen them at least once, I'm pretty sure. And if you asked me if she how long she'd been playing drums, I'd probably say she looks like she's had like a fair amount of time in it. But it seems like about the time that I was watching her play, she was just like picking it up, because like her story, like I don't remember the details, but I just remember listening, like, she did not play drums for very long before she started getting into bands.
I know,
and that's crazy to me.
And she's so good. She's got this, she's a beautiful person too. She's creative, she has high energy. She's one of my favorite humans on this earth. Like, I love her so much. And she is loyal. She comes and shows up to my shows. She shows up to all my clothing swaps over the years, past 10 years. She'll show up. I'll be like, no one there, and she'll show up. And I'm like, how are you so loyal to your friends and like amazing? If I could even be a little bit like her, my life would be complete. Like, dang, girl. Like, and Ian Sorley, I didn't know he had 9 fingers, and I found out on the podcast, even though I've been around him, I've seen him holding a beer, I've served him drinks, I've been friends with him, never knew he was missing a finger. So that was surprising.
Not something you typically look for in
somebody. It is, it's weird. Again, I don't see anything. I just see personality. Just kidding.
I don't see people's defects.
Yeah, I don't see people's defects. I just see personality.
I just hear their stories, and I say, oh my God, I love that.
Oh my gosh. But I just want to say, I'm not super positive. I just want to put that out there. I mean, I am, but I also, if you cross me, I'm like pretty nasty. Like, if my mom's listening to this, she's probably laughing. She's like, I love everybody, but I am quick to cut people out. Like, it's just like one day you're there, one day you're gone. And it might be a toxic trait of mine, but I just have a really hard time with, because I'm so nice and I'm very open and I'm very honest and I don't really lie. And I'm just like, when someone does that to me, I don't get it.
Right.
So to me, I'm just like, done. Yeah. I can't.
And
so,
it's like I told you that one time. Sometimes you gotta.
Yeah. So, oh, I like that. Sometimes you just gotta. Yeah. But yeah, I just want to put that out there, because I love everybody. But I also, I am very sensitive and I take things very seriously. I don't let people walk all over me.
So essentially, I love everybody, but I'll cut you.
I will cut you. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to take you down if you're acting drunk and crazy.
Yeah.
I will submit you, which I have to a few of my friends. Sorry, friends. Not sorry. I never hurt them. I just submit them, get them in a pose that they can't get out of, and then I'm like, yeah. I have it on video too. on one of my old house video cameras with my roommate. He was running around naked in the yard trying to. It's probably not good podcast material, but I had to do a takedown on his naked ass. It was all on camera.
Are you deceptively strong?
I am strong. Yeah, I think so.
Because you're really thin, but
yeah,
you look like you're a lot stronger than you look.
I am strong. Yeah, yeah, I've heard that a lot. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because there's this girl, how do I say this without saying this? There's a girl. She's very buff. She works out a lot. She goes to the gym like every day. She takes pre-workout. I don't even work out really that much. Like sometimes I have like super buff and I'm like, I used to hate it because it's like, I have to be feminine. I have to be girl. But I'm like, nah, I'm strong. It's fine. It's fine. So there's this girl, she's really buff, she works out every day, she's like obsessed with the gym, she's ripped. I touch her arm, it's like a brick. And I went out with her and she was drunk and crazy and she wouldn't get in my car, and I was like, I'm not letting you run around uptown by yourself. And she kept trying to run away from me, and I like the CC club, yeah, I went to back because we were at the CC club, I went back to the CC club, and I don't really drink much.
Right.
And so I'm completely sober and I'm driving, and I had Scott Seekins in my car because I was giving him a ride home. It was funny because he watched this whole thing go down. It was kind of hilarious. So Scott's in my car and I'm like, I can't leave her. She's drunk running around, this buff girl, beautiful girl, buff girl, but very strong. And so the CC club bouncer watched this all happen because I came back and was like, I can't find her. And then I heard her voice a block away and I ran. And I got her, and she was like, I got her in like a headlock, and I was walking her like a cop, like what I feel like. And she's like trying to get out of it, and she's like, nah, I'm not coming with you. And I'm like, dude, just chill. And so I got her, and then she got out of it, and I grabbed her, and I like did this like takedown, and I flipped her over. I didn't hurt her. I took her down gently, and then I threw her over my shoulder and threw her and pushed her into my car,
mm-hmm.
like. Sideways to the point in the back seat, to the point where like I was pushing her feet in to shut the door, and the bouncer was like, holy shit. It's just like, I was like, you're a good friend, and also how the fuck did you do that? I was like, I don't know, 4 years of jujitsu training.
Yes, I was gonna ask.
I don't know, the fact that I care about people, I'm not just gonna leave her in the street, and sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right.
But when I told her the story, she doesn't remember, and she was like, did I hurt you? And I started laughing. I was like, I could have hurt you. Like, I mean, it helped that she was drunk, but like, I mean, it's fine. It's just, yeah. Yeah, I can handle some people. Sometimes.
And doing what you do, that's a good quality to have.
Yeah, bartenders, yeah. Yeah, when I worked at Dark Horse, it was close to a lot more like drunk people stumbling in, and so I had like, I remember like a drunk girl coming in, even the cops were there, and I had a like, she tried to get my face, and I kind of just like stared her in the eyes, and I was like, I'm ready for whatever you're gonna throw at me.
Also, I love you.
And I just remember her just completely backing down, and she was huge. I was like, she was tall, and like I was just like, what's gonna happen? I'm ready. And she's just like, ooh. And she walked out and the cops were there, and they're like, it was so, it happens sometimes, but yeah.
I think a lot of times people just expect you to back down once they've gotten aggressive with you. That's why, yeah. A lot of times I either just try to act disinterested or find it funny.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not a fighter. Like, I always like, I like to wrestle. So I used to get into trouble a lot where I'd wrestle my friends, and especially my old roommate, Alex, him and I, we get into it. Yeah, I think we talk about it a lot. We've gotten kicked out of our friends' houses because we've like wrestled, and we just can't help it. Like if we have a few drinks in us, we're just like, ugh, we're on each other, like trying to like knocking over like lamps and like rolling around.
House party turns to a hardcore match.
Okay, and it wasn't even a house party. It was like a calm friend hangout. And we've gotten kicked out of our calm friends' houses a lot because we like to go at it. But I win a lot. Maybe Alex disagrees, but I win a lot. Like I've submitted him, and he gets.
Is it like a agitated thing, or are you just guys like, we're gonna wrestle?
Oh no, this fun. It's a good time. Right. It's a good time. I've wrestled another person, and I grabbed their knife because I didn't want to get cut. But then they like freaked out and pulled the knife out, but I was holding it.
Oh, no.
And I like cut all the way down here, and I was like, oh well, that didn't really work out for me. Another time I was wrestling somebody, and I was trying to do this flippy move, and I like flipped around, hit my tooth on their belt buckle, and I chipped my tooth. So I've given up the fun wrestling because I'm too vain.
Now it's time for the professional wrestling career.
Well, I gave that up too because I broke my foot. So
was that a thing?
Is that a thing?
Professional wrestling?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, it is a thing, but not anything I was doing.
That was another reason why you gave it up.
Well, I gave up actually doing jiu-jitsu because I, like, broke my foot.
Right. Yeah. No, I just got confused by the way you said
joking.
I gave that up to you.
Yeah, I was just joking.
Okay.
That'd be fun, though.
Why didn't I catch this detail?
No, I wish I could be a professional wrestler. That'd be fun. If I was less vain, I would do it.
What would your wrestler name be?
Ooh, I mean, I guess I would have time. I'd have to have time to think about it.
Yeah, I suppose that's not an on-spot question.
Yeah, but maybe peanut butter jelly time. That's my silly one that I'm thinking of right now.
You just run down from the
I don't know. All right.
I remember when I was into wrestling, like when I was like 13, 14, like. I thought it'd be cool to have the name The Caveman.
The Caveman?
Because it sounds like a good wrestler name. Like, yeah. You just have a big buff guy who just, like, throws you around
and
shit.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's so when I played some of the WWF games back then would have, like, character creators, and I would make a wrestler named The Caveman.
Yes. I love that. That's a good name, actually, because they are. They're just, like... I am strong and wait, I think what accent was that? I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. You just like throw people around. That's fun. That's really fun. I love that.
And this is kind of a long story, but it's kind of funny. Like one time in high school, like I was sitting with some friends. We didn't sit in the lunchroom anymore. We sat in the hallway that was like outside of it. You'd have to see Armstrong's lunchroom to understand what I'm talking about. But we were just sitting out there, and one of our friends sits down with a plate. And I, for no reason at all, as soon as he sits down, go, "Give me that sandwich!" And he just stares at me wide eyed. He's like, "Why do you sound like a professional wrestler?"
Oh my gosh, I love that.
And one night, my brother I was telling him about that, and we decided to make a name. He'd come up with the idea to make a name by opening the I almost said Bible, the dictionary, and pointing to a word. And putting those words together into it, and what we ended up getting was Croon the Scaffolding.
Oh my god.
Which, it works so well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Even though Croon's like the way that like, you know, those old singers like Frank Sinatra, like that's, they call them crooners.
Oh my god.
But that does sound like a big dumb muscle man's name, doesn't it?
Yes. That's hilarious. Can you please do that? You'd be a good wrestler.
I don't know.
Oh.
I probably have the aggression to do it, but I don't think I'd have like the skill. Like,
yeah, you'd have to go practice and do it. You'd have to commit. That's a commitment.
I would have to start in like my 20s, like before I turn 25, and like your like reflex and stuff go down.
I don't know if that's true.
You at least want them sharp before you go in and get them knocked the knocked out of your brain.
You just need to eat healthy and work out, and then your brain starts to, you know, you get into the flow, and then
it'd be a good place to put the aggression.
So. You should, and I highly recommend it. Do you have a lot of aggression?
A little bit, yeah.
I do too. Where do we channel it? I do. I have aggression. I'm like
playful wrestling matches at friends' calm parties.
No, I can't. I get so hurt, especially with my foot now. Now I'm like a baby. Someone's like, yeah, come wrestle me. And I'm like, I poked you. I just like, I don't have it in me now because I got so hurt that like, I don't know, something changed in my brain. I haven't wrestled.
Yeah.
But I'm not afraid to take down somebody who's drunk, who needs to be taken down.
Again, that's good.
Yeah, I have done that. But oh well, it is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did you have any other questions for me?
I came up with one earlier today.
Oh, fun. And
you'll appreciate this one because it's a kind of almost an inside joke between us.
I love it.
Do you have a verbal tip for the audience?
Yeah.
You can explain that one.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I do have a verbal tip for everybody. But I also, okay, so verbal tip is a shout out to Tom. Falling Knife is a brewery in Northeast, and they have a beer called the Verbal Tip. It's a hazy IPA, and it's so delicious. And it is Ricky's favorite beer, and whenever he comes, he orders it. And I always tell people, not just him, but I tell everybody, I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring you a verbal tip, and you have to give me a verbal tip back. And for Ricky, I make him like think of one and stuff. So
really now, loves putting me on the spot. Like I'll be sitting there trying to just have a drink by myself, and she'd be like, oh my God, person next to Ricky, this guy's so cool, and like he has all this and this and that, and like Ricky, let me put you on the spot further. She walks away to serve beer to people.
Well, I love to connect people.
Yeah.
Because that's what being in a bar is. And Ricky's awesome. And like, you can't just sit next to somebody who doesn't even know who you are. Like, they need to know that, because he's not going to tell everybody how he is a musician. And
I'd tell no one if I had my choice.
Yeah, I know, because he doesn't want to. So I have to do it for him. I'm like, dude, Ricky is his girl. Do you know he's a musician? Do you know how cool he is? Do you know he does this and that? And she's like, what? And then now you have a friend, though. And you got a drink bought for you because you're so cool. So you're welcome.
That was nice.
You're welcome. And
that lady was really nice, too.
Jen. Shout out to Jen. If she'll ever listen to this. I kept tricking her. I made her believe stuff. I do that to people. I like to say jokes, and people think I'm serious. Because they're so outrageous that how can you believe it? But people believe it.
I think it's because, like, you're kind of unassuming. And, like, the way you say it, it usually comes off like, wait, this is ridiculous, but you could be serious right now.
I just
Further investigation is needed.
I know. I just like people to really escape their mundane life and really question their reality.
Yeah.
That's my purpose in this life.
Most people are too busy asking what their purpose is to figure it out, and it sounds like you figured yours out.
I figured it out. I just want you to question reality. That's it. I want everybody to question their reality.
And if you're not questioning reality, what's going on?
What is happening? That's why I'm going to tell you crazy stories that aren't true sometimes. But I'm not a... See, my friends are like, Britt, you're just a liar. I'm like, no, it's ridiculous. Like the time me and Alex just... we were at a friend's party, mm-hmm. and I pretended to pierce his ears, and I was being acting, and he was too, and he was like, oh, it hurts so bad, and I was like, ew, it's crunchy, I was like, ew, it's bloody all over, somebody give me some napkins, and there's literally no blood, and there's no pain, it was fake, and everybody at the party thought, not only did they believe it, but they thought I was a crazy bitch for piercing my friend's earrings, I acted like it was like he didn't ask for it, and I was like, I'm gonna take this and pierce your ear. It was so stupid and random that everybody hated me at that party.
Oh my God.
I'm not even kidding. And there was no blood. There was no blood. We were acting so well.
Pierce my friend's ear like that.
And Alex thought it was It was this craziest thing. They were like, Britt's psycho. She's just gonna pierce someone's ears at a party. And Alex was playing it off, oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, and to this day, everybody was like, God, Britt's so crazy, piercing ears at parties and hurting people. And I'm like...
She's piercing people's ears against their will and pinning them down and having wrestling matches. I know,
they're like, they claim that there
was... She came in my friend Steve with a steel chair once.
Yeah, like what? They're like, there's blood everywhere. And there wasn't any, like, it wasn't real. To the point where me and Alex were laughing our asses off. We were like, we can't believe we just tricked everybody into thinking this was real. And I finally, like, oh, probably like a month or so later, I sat down and told my friend Casey, who was really mortified by the whole thing at that party. I was like, I need to tell you something. I was like, I didn't really pierce his ears. And he was so mad at me. To this day, he's mad at me about it. Because he believed it. I'm like, you guys, this is the stupidest thing that you are making a big deal.
I'm mad at you because I was gullible enough to believe it.
Yeah, like stupid things like that, people believe me. Or like, I don't know. I told somebody that, because I have a ham's bear tattoo, a fresh one. And I told somebody on a yacht that it was that Hams has bought in my house because I have a tattoo of Hams bear. And I was clearly in a joking voice. I'm like, yeah. Because they asked me, they're like, oh, are you getting anything for that? I was like, yeah, they bought my house. I'm like, I get all my furniture is made out of Hams cans. And they're just like, are you serious? They believed me. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to say just kidding because, you know, this bit is hilarious. And if you don't know it's a bit, then... I don't know what you believe. Like, it's not my fault you're gullible. I don't know. Maybe that's bad. I gotta figure out my fine line of joking and not joking. I don't know. Anyways, okay, we're rambling. We should wrap this up, right?
Yeah. Well, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me do this. I appreciate you offering it to me, too.
Like, that is so fun. Yeah. I had so much fun.
Me, too.
Oh, my gosh. And you look great.
So do you.
Oh, thanks. I'm in a costume. I guess we're going to have a little...
You just listened to Excelsior Podcast. Dig, baby.